Hi everybody. This all feels very different, doesn't it? But let's be thankful that even if we're living in isolation, we have access to the Word of God by which He is at work in us. First, I'm going to read the passage, which is 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 11. It should be on the service sheet, or of course you can look in your Bible. But first, let's pray. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Our Father, at this time when so much is uncertain, we praise and thank you that your word is true and living and active and a sure foundation for our lives. Please help us now to listen to your voice. Please grow our faith, increase our love, and strengthen our hearts that we may endure to the end. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's the reading, 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at verse 1. "Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, 'Peace and safety,' destruction will come on them suddenly, as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Paul starts this passage talking about times and dates. And it made me think about our diaries and calendars and how they probably look very different from the way they looked even a week ago. Parents, if you're listening with children, you could press pause here and talk about some of the things you normally do each week or events you thought were going to happen, but they're not happening anymore. Well, I wonder what came to mind. You thought you were going to be at school, but now you're not. You were going to a party. Now it's not happening. You were going to play a match or watch a game. Now it's been cancelled. A family event, postponed. A number of us were due to have exams, now suspended. Hey, we thought we'd be at church today. Now we are not. Life is very different, isn't it? All the things we thought were going to happen, but now they're not. But in today's Bible passage, the Apostle Paul talks about an event that God has put in his diary. And it is an event that will definitely not be cancelled. And that day is called the Day of the Lord. In the Old Testament, God's people were told about the Day of the Lord as an awesome day when God himself would come to them. A fearful day when he would come in judgment and overthrow their enemies, but a wonderful day when he would rescue them and make them safe forever. That was the Day of the Lord. And when we get to the New Testament, we discover that the day of the Lord is the day when Jesus Christ will return. And it's a day all Christians are supposed to be waiting for. Do you remember how Paul described that moment when the Thessalonians became Christians? He said back in chapter 1, verse 10, "You turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, Jesus Christ, who rescues us from the coming wrath." We're supposed to be waiting, looking ahead to that day when Jesus returns. But you might have some questions about that day. When and how is it going to happen? Is it definitely going to happen, given it's now 2,000 years since Jesus rose again? And if it is such an important day, how can we be sure that we are ready for it? So first, when and how will it happen? When and how will it happen? Look at verse 1. "Now, brothers, about times and dates, We do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, clearly, Paul is confident that the Thessalonians know this already, but so many people down the years have thought they can work out exactly when Jesus is going to return that we should be grateful that Paul makes it clear. He says, the day will come like a thief in the night. Now, again, parents could pause here and just talk to the children about that phrase. What does it mean that Jesus' return will come like a thief in the night? Now, of course, the thing with a thief in the night is that you don't know when he's coming. We get all sorts of bits of paper delivered through our door, but I have never had one saying, hello there, I'm a thief working in your area, and I wanted to let you know that I'm going to be popping round next Wednesday just after midnight. Of course not. You don't know when a thief is coming. And Paul says what Jesus also said, that nobody knows when he will return. Don't let anyone tell you they know, because nobody knows. We don't know when it'll happen, but it will definitely happen. That's what Paul says next, verse 3. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Now here Paul is using a different picture. When a woman who is pregnant goes into labour, her baby is on its way, and there is no avoiding it. There are some appointments that can be avoided or rearranged. I cancelled a dentist appointment this week. You can do that. But a woman going into labour can't say, oh, I'd like to rearrange this for a few weeks or months' time. You can't avoid childbirth once the process begins. And the Bible says there is no avoiding the return of Jesus Christ. It will happen. And that will be true even if people think it's a silly idea or it's not going to happen or they can't see any sign of it. Paul talks about people saying peace and safety. Now, apparently, I've learned this is something that people would say in Thessalonica because life had been very good, very stable and peaceful under Roman rule, under the Emperor Augustus. Things have been good for as long as people could remember. And you can imagine them listening to these Christians talking about the coming judgment on the day of the Lord and saying, what are you talking about? Life is good. We'll be okay. But Paul is saying there will be no avoiding Jesus' return. And on that day, there will be no escape for those who resist God and oppose his people. For many of us, we need to face up to the reality of the return of Jesus Christ. Many of us are used to getting on with our lives as though it's all peace and safety. Although it has to be said that this present crisis with the coronavirus should be shaking us out of our complacency. But we should be looking ahead to Jesus' return. If we belong to the Lord, we should be encouraged that he really is coming to rescue us. If we don't belong to him, we need to hear the warning. It will happen. And if we're not ready, there will be no escape. Though, wonderfully, we need to know it is possible for anyone to be ready, as we'll see. And that's what we're going to think about next. So first, we need to look ahead to Jesus returning. We don't know when it'll happen, but it'll definitely happen. But next, how to be ready. How to be ready. And what Paul says is basically this. Live as somebody who belongs to the light, not the darkness. Look at verse 4. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Now, did you notice how Paul makes a lot of the difference between night and day, darkness and light? And what he's saying is that Christians belong to the light. That's what the gospel tells us. that Jesus has rescued us from the darkness of ignoring him and being cut off from him. That's where all of us are naturally. But if we put our trust in Jesus, he brings us into his kingdom of light. And since we belong to the light, since we belong to the day, Paul says we should be living appropriately. It should make a difference. If you've ever had to drive through a city late at night, you might have seen people out in the street behaving in ways that you know they would never do during the daytime. Well, Paul is saying that Christians belong to the day. So we shouldn't behave like those who live in darkness. We shouldn't live like people who don't know God. We should be different. In verse 6, he says we should be alert and self-controlled. We should be living deliberately for Jesus and not just following our own desires. I think that's something to reflect on. What does it mean for me to be alert and self-controlled as someone who belongs to the day? It'd be good if at this difficult time that there was something different about the way that we lived. It would be a shame if this was just a time where we just ate more and drank more and watched more Netflix. What does it mean for us to be self-controlled and alert at this time? We should be different. And as people who belong to the day, we should dress appropriately, Paul says. Now, I realise that we are living at an unusual time, so it might be that you are following our remote service at home today and you are still wearing your pyjamas. That might be true. But I'm pretty sure I've never seen any of you in your pyjamas at Barkham Church on a normal Sunday. Of course not. Pyjamas are for the nighttime. You get dressed for the day. But did you see the kind of clothes Paul says we should wear? Parents, you could pause here to look at verse 8 with your children. Can you spot what kind of clothes are mentioned? Verse 8, since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. He's talking about wearing armour, isn't he? That's just a reminder that the Christian life is a battle. We can't sleep our way through it. We need to be alert and deliberate about living for Jesus. But for those who've been following our series in 1 Thessalonians, did you notice what the armour is? Did you notice those three very familiar things Paul says we need to put on? He's mentioned them before because they are the marks of the true Christian, the marks that the Thessalonians have displayed. Faith, love and hope. And what Paul is saying is that the way that they and we can get ready for the return of Jesus is by continuing to put on these things. So continuing to put on faith. Keep on obeying and trusting Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. Love. Keep on loving your Christian brothers and sisters. And hope. Keep on looking forward, waiting with expectation for the return of your Saviour. So, let me ask us, are we living as those who belong to the day and not the night? If someone could say of us, well, he or she, they just act like everyone else. That's not a good sign. We should be different. This passage calls us not to sleepwalk through life, but to wake up and remember who we are, that we belong to the light. We're being called to be alert and get dressed for battle each day trusting Jesus, each day loving others, each day looking forward. So I wonder if this strange time when life is very different, whether that's an opportunity to reflect more on these things. When so many of us are living in isolation, let's think carefully about what it means to put on faith, love and hope each day, because this is how we make ourselves ready for his return. It's all about remembering who we are. And underpinning that, remembering God's gracious plan to save us. See verse 9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. We're so privileged. God chose us to be ready for that day when Jesus returns. Jesus went to the cross to pay for our sins, so that whether we live or die before he returns, we are ready to enjoy eternal life with him. The Lord has done everything so that we can be ready. So let's be ready, living for him. And let's encourage one another to be ready too. Did you notice that's how Paul ends? Verse 11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. It's great to encourage one another. Perhaps we could think about one person that we could encourage this week with a call, so that we can build them up, so that they keep going, so that they're ready for that day. There is much in our lives that is uncertain at this time, but nothing is going to stop the return of Jesus Christ. A great day. Let's remember who we are and live as those who are ready for him. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you that there is a day when Jesus will return in glory to put right all that is wrong, to bring justice, and to take us to be with him forever. Help us to look forward to that day, clothing ourselves with faith, hope, and love, that we may show ourselves ready to meet our Saviour. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, we come now to the last song that's on the sheet, or it might be the last song that you click on to hear it and to see the words. But it's a great hymn, Amazing Grace. And in this hymn, we rejoice in the grace of God, his kindness that has saved us, and which will make the day of the Lord a glorious day that will bring us home to him.